not towards holiness and obedience and righteousness, but that still sin has some power over us that we somehow cannot resist. And that is contrary to what the Word of God says. And you can read in Romans chapter 6 as well. You're no longer slaves of sin. It's slaves to righteousness. You see, so there was a massive mind shift. If this is the central point, and this is where I was in my life 8.5 years ago when the Lord saved me, every day, you know, in every moment of every day and with every decision, my inclination would be to drift to this side, towards sin. And most of the time, it would inevitably end up in sin. Even if you've done a few good deeds, it's still not enough. It's like filthy rags before the Lord. We cannot save ourselves. No amount of good deeds can pay for all the sin that we've done. Some modern mindsets taken from religions like Islam and Buddhism and so on would have you imagine that there are scales, and if you can somehow outweigh the evil with enough good works, you will make it to paradise. Some believers live like that. Now, that was our propensity. The moment we got saved, or when Jesus became our center and we started following him, anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. So now, our inclination, in every given moment, our inclination, we must realize this, is to go towards this side, towards holiness, towards obedience, towards righteousness. Okay? We are gravitating towards this. We have a new nature, a new direction. As we said there, the old has gone, the new has come. We are a new creation. If you are in Christ, the little fishy, if you can put a fishy on your car, means Christ inside. If Christ is inside, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. If you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, then you are a new person. Do not entertain thoughts that somehow sin has power over you and that you have to do it or that you cannot possibly resist. No. We can throw a lot of scriptures here today at each other to prove the contrary. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond your means to resist. You are a new creation. You are no longer slaves of sin. Okay. I want us to be aware that there is a battlefield in the mind, that the enemy is accusing us. He's reminding us of our past very frequently. Now, I had us thinking about the moment, but specifically the transition. We need to remember we are new creations. We need to remember we are the second man now. We are living a new life. We are not bound to follow in the footsteps of our forefathers that maybe didn't know the Lord and they were caught in certain patterns of sin. You get alcoholism coming down family lines, etc., etc. Certain immoralities and perversions. We are not doomed to walking in their footsteps. It stopped at some point in your life where you recognized Jesus as Lord. You became a new person. Now you are not no longer a van Merwe or a van Niekerk or a van Skalkwijk or a van Dango. Okay, you are now grafted into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You are a son of Abraham. Okay. We have a new legacy, a new lineage. If you could continue writing the genealogies, the Bible would be a very thick book. But your name would appear there somewhere by the grace of God. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So maybe like me, your name might be written in the museum at the Huguenot Monument in Franschhoek. Wow. Okay, it doesn't wow anyone here. Okay. I've got Irish blood as well. Wow. Okay. So, like many of us, yeah, forefathers weren't born in Africa, but what's more important, don't care for that stuff. I don't have to walk that road. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm a new creation.
I'm
the second man. You know what I mean. Good stuff. Now I want to read a portion of Scripture. We read it. We read the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a while back. I want to take out one verse and I want to apply it slightly differently. I believe it's permissible in this instance, because I believe it's true. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. When I was a child, summing up there, I spake. No. Okay. We can, you really don't have to put the scriptures up, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. But there'll be no spaking over here. We can just put that off. I'm going to read one more time. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Just another thing in line with what I said now that I want to remind us of. Because many of us were caught in some serious patterns, sinful patterns and habits before we came to know the Lord. Things that maybe then we thought, well, we didn't maybe give two hoots. We didn't maybe think of it as sin. Now we recognize it was sin, but sometimes we continue struggling with that going into our relationship with the Lord. We struggle to shake that. And the battle's up here. And before you sin, before any sin happens in your life, at first, there's a thought. First comes into your head. You don't just sin, oops. Yeah. It's every sin is premeditated to some degree, some more so than others. But sometimes the way we think, before we sin, we are convinced that sin is going to be beneficial to us, or it's going to be very pleasurable to us, or whatever. And we might be completely ignorant or forgetful of God's promises at that moment. Or we might somehow, in our incorrect thinking, weigh up and consider that sinful act that we are considering to be somehow more beneficial or pleasurable than what God would want for us, than what God intended originally from us. Anything the enemy can dish up is the counterfeit. It's the temporary, and it will lead to destruction. There are consequences to sin, even for the believer. Not eternal damnation anymore by the grace of God, but consequences here and now. You can delay the grace of God on your life considerably. See, the Israelites got to the promised land, which was meant to be an 11-day journey. They took 40 years because of their disobedience. We can delay the promises of God manifesting in our life if we continue in wrong thinking and battles in our mind. The application of that verse in 1 Corinthians 13, I'm convinced that very often one of the contributing factors to us choosing incorrectly and sinning, because it's not like the enemy gets a hold of us, we choose to sin. As believers, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond our means to resist. You have a choice. You can choose the escape route, because everyone will get tempted. Jesus was tempted. He did not sin. we do not need to sin. Okay? Now, before you think I'm high and mighty, I still sin. I don't like it. I don't want to. And I pray by God's grace, and I've seen the evidence of it, that it becomes less and less frequent. Praise God for that. And often the nature of our sin changes, or the sins that we are still struggling with change through the course of the life of the believer. Initially, it's still stuff that's very much outward and recognizable and so on. And some of it seems easier to lay down than others. But remember, everything is possible for us to get victory over. As you mature as a believer, you recognize, and the Lord makes you very much aware of our incorrect motives very often. That our sin is often in our ambition and our motives and that and the like. Now, getting back to that scripture, I'm convinced that one of the contributing factors is that before we actually make the final decision and go ahead with the sin, that we somehow con ourselves into believing that, as I said, is more pleasurable than the alternative. That the sin becomes more desirable than anything else. And it's as simple as you then ticking the box and you going ahead and doing with it. You're conned into believing that is going to be the best option for you. And the reason, as I'm saying, is that I believe we sometimes remember, or we think back, or our mind, I don't know exactly how it works, the thoughts, pathways in the brain and everything, but we've been conditioned over time through habitual sinning and so on, that we will remember, we're actually thinking back to before the moment where Jesus became our center. We're thinking back into our before Christ, our BC days. And we're actually living in that moment, we're there, and we're thinking in that mindset that we thought, effectively, yeah, BC, like a child, immature, selfish, unsaved. Over here, after Christ, after salvation, like a man, mature, unselfish. And so we are a new creation, but now we're confronted with temptation and the brain pathways and whatever, and it's a temptation that we experienced also before we knew Christ, and our mindset goes back there where we truly believed this is the way to go. Before we knew Christ, this was the way to go. This was how to do things. This was the most pleasurable outcome that we could have. This sin is somehow going to make us feel better. Saying that nasty thing to that person, retaliating, instead of walking in forgiveness, is somehow going to be the best course of action. I'm going to vindicate myself, whatever, whatever. Or having a few extra drinks and just getting, you know, motherless off my head is going to somehow deal with this anxiety that I'm facing far better than anything else. This is the only option. For some people, you don't have to go too far. That is really, for them, it's the only option. It's the only way they can deal and survive with their trauma. We have a better way now, but somehow we forget and we step back into the childish ways and the childish thinking. And so all that we're thinking about is how pleasurable that was. But what we need to remember, at this point where Jesus became our center, we've actually said no, and we've put the childish things, speaking, thoughts behind us. We've put it away. Put away childish things, because now you've become a man. Now you've become mature. Now you've become a believer. Now you live according to a different set of values and morals. Now you know that what God has is much better. Anything the enemy can dish up is the counterfeit, is the made in Taiwan, for lack of a better example. Okay, it's something plastic that's going to break. What's more, it's going to hurt you when it breaks. That little plastic toy is going to break while you're playing and your hand's going to slip. And it's that sharp plastic thing is going to go into your hand. There's going to be blood. You're going to have to go to hospital, get stitches. They don't have anesthetic. Exactly. You get my point. Okay, it's going to hurt. whatever the enemy has to dish up is the counterfeit. You in that mindset, childish thinking. We need to remember we are not that person. You are not that person anymore. You are not a child anymore. You are not a child. Even children give their hearts to the Lord. They don't have to continue thinking like teenagers. They don't have to be rebellious and whatever. There's a better way. How do the Jewish people that live according to God's principles in the Old Testament, how do they do it? And they have a bar mitzvah when their son is 13, when most boys will start getting really uptight with their fathers and whatever else. And at that point, they bless that boy and they release and speak and prophesy over that boy, prophesy him into manhood and maturity and responsibility. Now, how many of those boys, they skip all the childish nonsense? Because they're living according to God's principle. For us, the principle is the same. We have become mature in Christ. We have become, not mature in Christ, but there's, you know what I mean, compared to what we were. We've come into Christ. We've become the new person. We do not need to think the way that we used to anymore. So remember, if you're confronted with temptation to sin, and somehow, you know, I pray by God's grace that you would recognize that the lie, the deception of the pleasure that it will hold for you is something that is connected. And the enemy knows this very well. He's been playing this game for over 6,000 years. He knows how to trip us up. And he saw your life. He knows where your weak points are. But guess what? Through your weakness, God's strength can be revealed because you can resist that. So he'll dish something up that seems very lacquer, something that you would have fallen for every time back then because you didn't even recognize that as sin or temptation. But now somehow we see that thought comes in our head because the enemy can pop thoughts in our heads. Remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. That's what he does. It's like a toothless lion. He's after us. But he can only put thoughts in our head and tempt us to sin so that we self-destruct. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy us because that's the only way that he can somehow hurt God, if he destroys God's creation. But we won't let him do that because you are the new person. You can say, thank you. That's not me anymore. That guy died. Okay? There where I was baptized in the water, I went under. Remember Romans 6, Satan? You know the scripture because he knows the scripture. He just twists it. You could tell him, sorry, I identified with Christ. I died with Christ. I'm a new creation now. I'm no longer a slave of sin. I do not have to do this thing. The old me, yes, but that guy's dead. Go sell your lies somewhere else. He wants you to remind you of your past. You remind him of his future. He's going to hell. And contrary to what some people might think, Satan's sitting there in hell laughing, ha ha ha. I don't think he's going to enjoy it very much. Okay, it's meant to be punishment for him. He's not going to enjoy it. So you defy the enemy because God, the one who is in you, is greater than him. He reminds you of your past. He tries to tempt you with old pleasures. Tell him, sorry, that guy's dead. But guess what? I got a little something for you. Okay? You're going to hell. So get off my back in Jesus' name. Leave me alone. Every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. Satan is no different. I want to close with the famous scripture in Romans chapter 8. For those God foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. We have been predestined. Each one of you have been foreknown. Okay? How many of you know that God knew you before the foundations of the world? He knew he would make you. You are no accident. Tell your neighbor, I am foreknown. Okay, God knows you. He hasn't forgotten you. In your moment of temptation, where is God? Where is God? Right there. in your moment of temptation, he doesn't leave you. Woo, what's Tien's going to do now? Huh? No, I'm not helping him now. This is a test. No, he's right there and he's showing you the escape route. Okay, he's right there. Do not think that God doesn't see what you're doing there. He's right there and he's showing you. He's saying, come, don't do it. What I have is the real deal. It's worth it. It's worth resisting this rubbish. Do not be tempted. You know, very often there's a moment, and we've got a moment, when someone says something and we want to say something back, and we've got a moment, there's like a few seconds, there's a sober moment. And we're very much aware of the decision that we have to stay silent if we can't say anything good. How many times do we make the mistake? Do we sin? Because we know the power that's in the tongue. Guess what? You can't take that back. And you know in that moment, where's God? He's right there. What does he say? He says, speak blessing, not cursing. I'm used to speaking a lot. It's now become part of what I do. Sometimes it's difficult for me to hold my tongue. It's a big challenge. I'm capable and I do say nasty things. I hate doing that. I hate doing it. I do it. Sometimes Paul says, sometimes I do what I hate. It's not lacquer. God's still busy with me. But I know there's a moment and it's becoming clearer to me. I'm becoming more aware of that moment. Every time before I sin, I'm more aware of that moment. I know there's a tipping point where I'm going to learn by God's grace to say no. I'm not going to have an outburst. I'm not going to say that nasty thing now. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to think of myself now. I'm not going to try and vindicate myself. And I think that's something that the Lord maybe wants to... I know he wants to do that for everyone. We become so aware of that moment. We're so aware in that moment, God is there and he's showing us a better way. Why is this important that we choose the good way? Why is it important? It's firstly for the name of the Lord. For the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that that person cannot say, oh, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Who's this Jesus that you're following? For the name of the Lord. That we hold our mouths. That we refrain from doing evil. That we depart from it. That means Satan comes at us. James 4 verse 7 says, submit to God. In that moment, listen to God. Resist the devil. It's going to take some effort and work. And then he will flee from you. And too many of us, we're still in that place where we were children, BC. And we think somehow the sin has something to offer us. There's some value offering there. And we're towing the line. Lord, how close can I get to that sinful thing without doing it, but somehow I can still reap benefit from it, but I'm not really doing it, and I'm still cool with you. That is not our Christian attitude and mentality. We made the decision to walk in a different direction. Let us not toe the line. Let us not mess around with what is sacred and holy to God. His name. He holds his name above everything. His word above everything else. He does not deny the power of the word of God in our lives. There's two in this relationship. You and Jesus Christ until the day you die. One of us has to change. What does that scripture say? It says that we must be conformed to his image. Where's Jesus? He's over there. I'm walking that way. The old me was going in that direction. That is the opposite direction that I've chosen to go. So I'm not saying, Jesus, wait for me there. I just want to, you know, not like that. Let us get away, move away, step away from the line. Okay? Step away, take a deep breath, and then turn around and follow Jesus for His glory. He wants to manifest His glory. He's called us to be a holy nation. Not a nation that messes around with nonsense that the enemy wants to dish up. Not a nation that wants to destroy. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You guide us by Your Word. Thank You, Lord. I believe it's everyone here's desire that You would truly be their center. Lord, because we want our lives to mean something. We want our lives to count. We want You to be glorified through our lives. Our lives amount to what we do every day. What we say, how we behave, what we think. How we respond to our circumstances. Pray, Lord, that by Your grace, the sum of our lives bring glory to Your name. Pray that You'll help each one here to focus upon You. To focus on the cross. As Paul said, to preach Christ and Him crucified. To remember where our salvation comes from and what You have done in our life. That we will remember that we are new creations. We are not that old person that used to get up to all that mischief and that nonsense, hurt all those people in the process. We are not that person anymore. We have changed. We're busy changing, being conformed to Your image. Lord, give us the grace to walk worthy of Your name. Just keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, please. If you just want to encourage you that in that moment when we are faced with temptation, it is not in our own strength that we resist. It's not in our own strength or by our own abilities that we can say, well, I resisted that temptation. We are here only tonight by the grace of God. It's His power at work in us through His Holy Spirit that we can say that we have gained victory over this form of sin, over this bad habit, over this temptation. Only by His grace that we can say that we know Him. Only by His grace, not by anything that we have done. And the next time that you are tempted, and it's not going to be very long from now, might be tonight on the way home. The next time you are tempted, remember who is there with you. Remember who you can rely on to help you to live holy. His Holy Spirit has been given to us so that we may have grace not to continue sinning, but to live holy lives, that He may receive more glory. More glory to You, Lord. More glory. I want you to remember that it's only by His strength, by His Spirit. As I said, no one here has saved themselves. And you cannot save yourself if you have not made that decision yet. You cannot save yourself either. There's only one Savior in this world, that's Jesus Christ. There was only one sacrifice that was worthy, and that was the one that was made at the cross of Calvary. That was the penalty for our sin. That was what was acceptable to God so that He can forgive us, that we can know Him. Only by the blood of Christ. If you have yet to make that decision, to make Jesus the center of your life. I want to give you the opportunity. I just want us to stand, please. As you consider that for a second, where are you in the greater scheme of things? Are you, can you testify you are the new man? Or are you still the old man? What are you directing your life upon? Who are you following? Who is your master? Every day, do you know Him? Do you hear His voice? Do you submit to Him? Do you inquire of Him in any given situation? Is He the one that you go to first when you are challenged? Is He the one that you are trusting for power to resist temptation? Are you living for Jesus? There's a day of reckoning that is coming, and that is going to be the crucial answer. Whether you are living for Jesus. We need to know that. And I believe that God will afford everyone an equal chance. Maybe your chance is here tonight. I want to encourage you. So I want to ask you, if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Master, if you want to receive Him as your Savior, if you want to receive forgiveness of sin, all your sin, it's not a place of continuously begging God to save you. No, He saves you. Then the only way that you can become unsaved is if you deliberately walk away from Him. Or if you deliberately turn a deaf ear and continue in sin. So I want to ask you, if you want to receive Christ tonight, if you want Him by your side, if you want His help every day in every situation, and if you want peace with God, and to know beyond any shadow of doubt that you will be with Him one day for an eternity, if that is something that bothers you or you are uncertain of, you can have that assurance. God wants us to know that we are His children. We don't have to be afraid and fear, wondering, am I His child? No, like any child, parent wants them to know they belong in that family. So I want to invite you, if you would mind stepping out of your where you're sitting and just coming to the front. I want us to pray. I would love to pray with you to receive Christ. I'm just going to give you a moment. Is anyone like that here tonight? Don't leave without doing business with God. That is why you're here. That is why you're here. In church, you're allowed to talk about religion. So often in our culture, it's not something we like to talk about. It's such a private thing. You know what? It's a personal thing, but it's not a private thing. Jesus didn't die in private. The way to heaven is not by being private about it. This is a safe place. I want to encourage you, if there's anyone here, you want to give your life to the Lord, please come forward now. I'd love to pray with you. And it's not to embarrass anyone. It's just, this is the best thing ever. This is the best thing ever. Everyone here would rejoice. I just felt that there's someone here that wants to do business with God. Do not be afraid to come forward. I don't bite. Okay. All right. Maybe if you just feel, if you don't want to do that now, but you'd like to pray with someone, I want to encourage you after the service, in the room at the back, the middle door, there will be ministry facilitators that would love to pray with you for any needs you might have.